Yes, Walter Mellon.
Well, the only additional help I need is my old friend Hubert Safecracker Gould.
The only man of his generation who didn't go to jail?
Yes, I need him at my side for this crusade.
All right. We will destroy the Knights Templar trial records, the 36 feet of long scrolls decorated with those strange symbols your order was so fond of. They will be burned tonight at the Vatican. And Hinkle? Hinkle, if your order is successful, we will put you in charge of the next crusade.
And that is?
World War II. Oh. A bigger extravaganza than one. Oh. Beyond the dreams of Lubitsch and DeMille. It is being choreographed at this very moment.
Exquisite.
What are you going to call the magazine?
The Benign Monster.
Give it the Freudian angle.
Yeah.
Good.
A talented grave robber and second story man, Hinkle von Vampten arrives for his assignment in an old rusty World War I surplus submarine, part of an arsenal the Wallflower Order keeps on hand in case its underlings kick up. On the shore, his new household awaits him as the craft surfaces from a large pool of oil slick. Hinkle von Vampten arises from the sub and is rowed onto the beach. He steps out of the boat. He inspects the cooks, chauffeurs, and the maids, and the gardeners, and the grooms. The next morning, he calls his old comrade-in-arms, Hubert Safecracker Gould.
Hello? Hubert?
Yes. Oh, Hinkle, high sport. I'm told
you successfully carried through the plan to embarrass the Wallflower Order. I saw the headline about the Haitian thing.
Oh, that's not all.
Interviewed by the Wallflower Order, and we made a deal.
A deal?
We are exonerated.
They burned the evidence from the trial, and we are in charge of the epidemic.
How did you swing that?
I'll explain
later. Listen, they gave us a staff. Their North American contacts have been buzzed that the power is passed from the Teutonics to us again. So, here's the plan.
What's going on here? Don't you know we got any dishes to get out? You, me. Yeah, you. Now, what's on your mind, Max?
I want to meet Carl Barek and Friedrich Enzel.
Well, they don't work here no more. They were promoted. Now get out of here.
Woodrow Wilson Jefferson slowly walks out, undaunted. He is an ambitious man. If he is not going to find these men here, he'll look them up in the phone book. He is walking down University Street in Greenwich Village when he comes upon the sign in the window.
Wanted. Negro Viewpoint.
Yes, young man. What can I do for you?
My name is Woodrow Wilson Jefferson. I came about the Negro Viewpoint job.
Yes? What is your experience?
I have read all the 487 articles written by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels and know them by heart.
Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels? The perfect candidate. You're hired.
But don't you want to hear about my contributions to the county seed packages? My descriptions of the bulbs and the germs?
That's enough. You have convinced me.
But don't you want to...
We have an office for you in the rear of Spiraling Agony, my estate. And you will also be required to perform certain chores in addition to your responsibility as a columnist. We are doubling up due to our very limited resources.
Well, what will my double up be?
Ask the cook when you reach Spiraling Agony.
One thing, Mr. von Vampten.
Yes? What is that, Woodrow?
Can you introduce me to Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels?
Now, come into my office, Woodrow. I have something to explain to you.
A few months later, Hinkle von Vampton has familiarized himself with Afro-American literature of the 20s. He has written the 14 people who are sending the book about in a chain. None has answered, however. The mails are terribly slow. He has interviewed three candidates for the position of Talking Android, the second phase of the plan to stamp out Jez Grew. They had declined. Hinkle's disguise in Manhattan circles is that of Negrophile, patron of the arts and controversial publisher of the Benign Monster magazine. Tonight, he sits in his dressing gown, picking at a snack of tiny, non-poisonous snakes, crocodile eggs, and Nile crabs, provided for him by W.W. Jefferson's other duties.
I don't know. Mom, what to do is W.W. If he wasn't so good at gathering these delicacies, Oh, what's this? Reeds gathered at the gravesite of the recently dead infant. W.W. would be all right if he just could avoid those damned Marxist, Anglian, sociological cliches. His column has its good points, but he doesn't have that razzle-dazzle. Oh, that jargon bores people. Ah, here comes the dope now.
Did you want to see me, Publisher Von Vampton?
Oh, I don't know what I would do without you, W.W. Where are you able to find these morsels which so intrigue my palate, huh?
When you told me that Mr. Marx and Mr. Engels was dead, it was such a blow to me. I went to this potter's field out in the country to meditate. There was a swamp nearby the tombstones, and there I found many crawling things.
Oh, they are indeed delicious, delicious. But there's one thing, though, W.W.
What's that, Publisher Von Vampton?
Well, sit down, W.W. You know, our readership isn't as bright as you are. You quote Kant, James, Hegel, very well. But don't you think you ought to liven it up a bit with some raggle-taggle?
The next issue, Mr. Von Vampton, I'm going to get some of these niggas who are writing these nasty plays, like Wallace Thurman. He wrote some play called Harlem, in which these bonzos be rubbing up against each other.
Why would you object to that, W.W.? We have been banned in Boston for pornography. Why would you want to include your material in our magazine, but then abhor the same freedom that it occurs among your playwrights?
Well, it comes down to this. I will use any vehicle at all so that I won't have to return to that farm and spend the rest of my life milking cows.
Excellent, excellent. Of course I should have known. A black pragmatist. Perhaps a talking android. No, W.W. is too dark. This is the 20s. Black is out. Colored is in. W.W., before you leave, I've been reading Abdul Sufi Hamid. I can't decipher some of the dialect in the esoteric references. What is your assessment of him?
Oh, he writes stirring poems. Apocalypse. Moors triumphant, riding elephants as they conquer southern Europe.
What do you think he's saying?
He's telling them niggas that they will never be ready and that nothing will come of them. And that if they take a drink from time to time, it'll enervate their brains. And every time they go to bed with a woman, that the corners of the room filled with nests of Gog and Magog.
Excellent, excellent. Now I understand. But what's his views on the plague?
He says it involves too much dancing and should be stamped out with force if necessary.
Good, good, good. I will give him the entire page of the next issue, accompanying photo, the works. Maybe some flappers kicking up their legs beside his skull. Maybe even the talking android.
He's a little off, though, Publisher Von Vampton.
W.W., cut out the Publisher Von Vampton. You are up north now. Call me Hink. Now, what is about him being mad?
He's going about telling everyone that he is compiling some sort of anthology that will upset the nation. Some strange text is assembled about this Jess Grew thing.
He? What? What ontology are you talking about?
This anthology has hieroglyphics and strange drawings written all over it. It says only 14 other people you around. Is there anything wrong here?
Oh, these old war paints, W.W. I got them from time to time.
Oh, I didn't know that you fought in the last war, sir.
Oh, I didn't. I received them in another, a loftier crusade.
What war was that, Hink? The Spanish-American War?
How do you think this Harding election will affect the Negroes?
It's funny you should mention it, sir. They called him the race president.
What? Who?
He was at a rent party and was dipping his fork into the chitlins and drinking liquor along with everybody else. Why, that man is quote pathetic with me publishing Hink. Hinkle von Vampton, sir?
Publisher Hinkle von Vampton, sir?
It is 2 a.m. Rain has fallen and created many water puddles in the streets of Harlem. Moving on an invisible cord, Hinkle von Vampton, like a spider swollen on snake venom, climbs the steps of the building where Abdul's office is located. Hubert Safecracker Gould, all wormy and creepy-like, follows behind.
What do you want? We would like to talk to you, Mr. Abdul.
I'm the publisher of the magazine, The Benign Monster.
Hey, man, what was the idea of putting my picture there without my permission? Hey, those wasn't my views, and you know it. And I didn't like those nude photos that accompanied the article.
We're merely trying to give you a friendly overture, perhaps boost the circulation of your magazine.
Oh, yeah, man?
We've climbed to 10,000 circulation. We plan to double that.
Yeah, well, listen,
thought we could run some of the anthology you have.
What anthology are you referring to?
Oh, the one you have. Woodrow Wilson, Jackson,
Sexton. Oh, him. Well, I don't have it.
What do you mean you don't have it?
I mean just that. The words were unprintable.
But the tune was irresistible.
I don't think so. I don't like the lyricism. No, I don't have it.
Let me talk to him. I know the jargon. Look, man, let us cop the anthology. We may lay something on you.
And who's this turkey you brought with you?
No use reasoning with this hothead.
I don't have it.
Move over, let's have a look into that safe.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
What's the procedure now?
Well, first, remove my dagger. Next, open the safe, Hubert.
Empty.